Our next reading from God's Word and our sermon text for this morning comes from Exodus chapter 19, which is found on page 60 and 61 in the pew Bibles in front of you. As we began noting last week, as we're going through the book of Exodus, we have come to a big turning point in the book. We've covered the part where God rescues the people from Egypt, the story of redemption, and he has brought them to Mount Sinai with the purpose of meeting with God. Now, when you think of something important, when there's something important that you have to do, you generally will prepare for it. If you have a big job interview, you probably will think at least a little bit ahead of time before you walk into the interview. You might put thought into what you're going to wear, what kind of company this is, remember where you have to go, who you're meeting with. If you have a big test, you're probably going to think about it a bit beforehand. You're going to prepare for it because you know what's going to happen is important. Or if you have a first date, you want to make a good impression. So you're probably going to put a little more thought than normal into what you're going to wear or what you're going to say or and such. Or hopefully, you know, if you're a man, maybe not as much, but you might, if you have a wedding, you're probably going to put some thought into preparing for that as well. Oftentimes when we have these important big events in our lives, we'll put some thought into them. Even for the few days prior, we will think about how we're going to organize our life around the event that's about to happen. You know, if you have a job interview, you're going to look at Google Maps and see how long it's going to take you to get there. You're going to think about, make sure you know what has to happen before you can go to this interview. When there's big events, we plan our life around them. We put preparation and thought into them. And in our text today, as we read, God is going to tell Israel to prepare for a big meeting, because they are going to meet God. God is going to come down on Mount Sinai and meet with his people. This is the point of all the story we've read so far. God brought the people out of Israel. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them into the wilderness to meet with him. He brought them to himself on the wings of eagles, because he wants to meet with them. He wants to dwell in their midst. This will be the first corporate worship service. It's the first time where all of the nation is gathered, not just the leaders, not just Abraham and a couple people. The whole nation is gathered to meet with God. And while this event will never be repeated in quite the same way, it forms the basic model for all the other worship that will occur in the Bible. So with those words of introduction, let us read from Exodus 19. We'll read verses 9 to 25, and then we'll actually jump over to Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. Exodus chapter 19, beginning at verse 9. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and may also believe you forever." When Moses told the words of the people to the Lord, the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people, and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, 'Take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be stoned or shot. Whether beast or man, he shall not live.' When the trumpet sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. And he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. do not go near a woman. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to the Lord to look, and many of them perish. And let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, 'Set limits around the mountain and consecrate it.'" And the Lord said to him, "Go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. And jumping forward down to verse 18, God will speak the Ten Commandments, and this is what happens after God speaks the Ten Commandments from the mountain. "Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning," 2018, "flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled and stood far off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die.' Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin.' The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was." Amen. Let's pray as we seek his face in his word. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you came and met with Israel on Sinai. Lord, we know that all of us, every one of us, will meet you someday. I pray that you will help us to be prepared. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Israel comes to the base of Mount Sinai, God gives them these instructions to prepare for worship. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments." To consecrate means to set apart. They're to leave aside things that are normally might be good, but they're to set them aside in order to focus and concentrate and prepare to worship God. This would probably mean abstaining from things which would make you ceremonially unclean. That's where we get this understanding where this kind of phrase that kind of, you know, probably jumped out to you, where Moses says, "Do not go near a woman," meaning they are to have a form of fasting from normal good things, probably food. In addition, he says, fast from normal sexual activity within marriage, because you are to set your, you know, don't focus on these things, but focus in preparing for what you're going to do when you meet with God. Fasting is a kind of a prayer with an exclamation point on it. Because what's going to happen is going to be a big deal. God is going to come and meet with them. He tells them to wash their garments. This is to be an external action, which is to be symbolic of an internal state. kind of like what we do in baptism, right? When we apply the symbol of baptism, it's an external sign of what we're praying will be true inside, that they'll be clean inside. And so they wash their garments, they cleanse themselves, cleanse these garments which are probably caked with the dust of the wilderness, garments that they probably were given to them when they fled from Egypt, because garments is one of the things they got when they left Egypt. They're to wash their garments, wiping off the dust of their previous life, because they're to focus on what is going to happen, be prepared to meet with God, emphasizing the importance of what's about to happen. This is not a normal everyday event which is going to happen when God comes on Mount Sinai. As we said, this is a unique event in redemptive history. God will never quite come in the same way as he did on Sinai. But this event will shape everything else which happens in the Bible. As we'll see when we start talking about the tabernacle, we'll see that the tabernacle basically becomes a movable Mount Sinai with these different levels of holiness. The people could come to a certain point, but then there's a point where they're not supposed to cross beyond. Only the priests could go beyond that. And then even beyond that, there's the central Holy of Holies, where only the high priest, the chief mediator of the people, could enter on one day out of the year, the Day of Atonement. The same God who will appear to them on Mount Sinai will be the God that will travel with them throughout their journeys, and is the same God who is meeting with us this morning. How do you prepare for worship? The point here isn't necessarily the same ways Israel was to prepare for worship or the way we are called to, but the basic principle is it's something that you need to prepare for. When we gather here on Sunday, we're coming to worship the same God who revealed himself in fire and smoke on Sinai. When we gather here in corporate worship, God has given us a promise to meet with us in a special way, in a way he doesn't every other day of the week. And every other time when we speak to him, we have this freedom of access, right? We can talk to God anytime we want. We have this ability to come and worship and pray and sing to our Father anywhere place. We don't have to go to a temple, right? We don't even have to come to this worship service to talk to God. But God has promised that when his people gather together for the express purpose of worshiping him, he is here present with us in a way he's not in those other ways. There's a great blessing in gathering with God's people to worship. Here God speaks to you as the scriptures are read. Here we can speak to God as a people in prayer and song. We are meeting here with the God of the universe. And that's certainly something worth preparing for. Something prioritizing. Our meditation in the front of the bulletin is taken from the OPC's Directory for Public Worship. I kind of pull out a couple sections where it talks about how we are to think about the Lord's Day and how we're to prepare to come into God's presence to worship. One of the things it says is it says it is advisable for each individual and family to prepare for communion with God in his public ordinances. Therefore, they ought to do this by reading the scriptures, by holy meditation, and by prayer, especially for God's blessing on the ministry of the word and sacraments. That's one thing that those of you who are able to come and gather on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, we meet over in the normally called the AA room, where some people come together to pray for this worship service, to help prepare by prayer. Help prepare by meditating on his word. I know for some of us, we're just happy to be here on time, much less have a moment of silence or moment of thought. But it's just the point is that it's something that we should take seriously. Prepare our hearts. Realize why we're here. What we confess is happening when we gather as God's people. It's why I think we should prioritize being here on time. You wouldn't be late to a big interview, because you would see that would be seen as disrespectful. In the same way, we should seek to order our lives so that we can prioritize being and gathering with God's people, particularly before the call to worship. God tells Moses that the people are to prepare. But there's also another way he tells the people to prepare for meeting God. He tells Moses to set limits around the mountain, to set marks saying, hey, people, you can come up to this point, but don't go beyond here. Don't touch the mountain. When God comes down on the mountain, it is going to become holy ground. By coming up and touching the mountain, the people will be violating that holiness. And he insists that even those who touch the mountain, who violate that boundary, they're guilty of the death penalty, as to show the seriousness of what's about to happen. Because if when God comes down and the people cross over, they will die. Because they will be an unholy people stepping on holy ground. And on the third day, the presence of God descends on the mountain. And it's indeed an awesome vision. I mean, you know, we don't see this, right? But I think even reading these words, we get a little bit of the sense of what it must have been like for the people of Israel as they were there gathered at the base of the mountain, and the presence of God and these visible manifestations, these visible signs accompanying the presence of God as he comes down on the mountain. Let's read it again, verse 16 of chapter 19. On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in the thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. As the presence of God descends on Mount Sinai, there we have these physical signs which accompany it, the presence of thick cloud, thunder, and lightning. The mountain is wrapped in smoke. The very mountain itself trembled. And even though the people are trembling with fear, I always find this next part almost comical. You know, God had given Moses commands to set limits around the mountain, not to let the people come up. And then God calls Moses to go up to the up top of the mountain, and he tells Moses, go down. Come up, go down, and tell the people again, don't cross over the boundary. The Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people, lest they break through and look. Through to the Lord and look, and many of them perish. And let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. We see all this talk of preparing and washing and not coming near is for the people's own safety. They cannot come near the majesty and holiness of God. If they do, they will perish. And Moses says to the Lord, you know, God, you already told me this. Right? You told me to set limits around the mountain. We did that. The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, set limits around the mountain and consecrate it. And God said to him, go down and bring up Aaron, but do not let the priests and the people break through to the Lord, lest he break out against them. In other words, I'm really serious about this. I know how people work. If you say don't touch, what's the thing that people want to do more than anything, particularly children? There's pretty much can't focus on anything except touching that one thing. He says, I'm serious. I know the people. Warn them. And so Moses goes down. The people are there gathered at the base of the mountain, up to the limit where limits have set. They're gathered there around the mountain for this meeting with God. God's presence is on the mountain, and then God speaks. He speaks with a voice that is audible and heard by the people. He speaks what we sang earlier, the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words, saying, in summary, You shall not have any other gods before me. You shall not make any idols. You shall not use the Lord's name in vain. You shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall honor your father and your mother. You shall not commit a murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not lie. You shall not covet. Before God speaks, where are the people? They're there at the base of the mountain. In fact, because of the warning, it's almost since they're eager to cross over the boundaries to go up and see this wonderful sight, to see God. They're there, like surging at the mountain. Where are they when God finishes speaking? Go down to verse 18 of chapter 20. Now, when all the people saw the thunder and flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off. When God started speaking, they were at the base of the mountain. When God stopped, when he had finished speaking, they were far off. They ran. They ran. They ran away in great fear, as if the mountain itself was going to fall on them, as if a great mudslide was coming down the mountain. What they realized when they heard God's voice speaking, when they saw the presence, the signs accompanying the presence of God, they realized something very important. They weren't prepared. They were not ready to meet with this God. For all the preparing they had done, they realized that this was more than they were prepared for. They knew they needed a mediator. They knew that they could not be in the presence of God on their own, and they knew they needed somebody to come between them and the holiness of God. They cry out to Moses, "You speak to us, we'll listen to you, but don't let God speak to us, lest we die." As I said, a mediator in the Bible is someone who comes between us and God. A mediator takes our place before God so that we can be in a relationship with him. A mediator allows a sinful people to talk to God and be near to God without being destroyed. Now the people are terrified, and Moses speaks a word of comfort to them. He says that they're not to fear because God knows what they need. He's not brought them here to kill them. He's brought them here because he loves them. That they may truly have a vision of what God is like, so they may live in fear. Don't fear so that you may live in fear. Not the terror of the mountain, but the fear of the recognition of who God is. And at the end of our text, Moses, acting as a mediator for the people, goes up into the mountain to meet God. And it's there that God will begin to give him instructions. In fact, the first instructions he'll start to give him, if you look at the next heading in your ESV Bibles, is he'll give him instructions about altars. What do you do on an altar? You offer sacrifices. Why do you offer sacrifices? To atone for sin. He'll then later start to give him instructions about building the tabernacle and for priests. Because while that's what the people need in order to dwell near God, their sins need to be atoned for. That's what they realized when they heard God speaking the Ten Commandments. They realized they were an unholy people. And while we know from the rest of Scripture that these sacrifices do not forgive sins by themselves, they pointed forward to the ultimate sacrifice of that great mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. You will meet this same God that Israel met on Mount Sinai. You will meet him either when you die, or you'll meet him when he comes again in glory. And in order to meet him, you need to be prepared. You need a mediator. Just as much as the people of Israel did. And God, in his grace, has provided for you just such a mediator. As we've read before in 1 Timothy 2, "For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ." God knows you. God knows you. And he's coming to meet with you. But just as he told Moses, this is Moses told the people, he wants to dwell with you, not to destroy you. He does not desire the death of the sinner, but he has provided his son, his own son, Jesus Christ, to suffer what we deserve, that he might be a fit mediator between us and the holiness of God, so that when we enter the presence of God, we do it on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Even Moses only pointed towards what Jesus would do. Moses needed a mediator just like the rest of us. If Jesus is not your Savior, if you are living in unrepentant sin before our God, then this fact that you will meet God should terrify you. But Jesus comes to love you. He's come not to crush you, but to save you. You should indeed run when you hear God speak, but not run from God, not run from the mountain, but run to Jesus. Don't run from God, run to Jesus. If Jesus is your mediator, if he is your Savior, you have access to God in a way that the people of Israel couldn't even imagine, could never have dreamed of. We read Hebrews 12:18-24 earlier. Notice the distinction that the author of Hebrews makes between the way the people of Israel came to Mount Sinai and where we come to God. We both meet with God, but there's a very different character to it. Hebrews 12:18-24. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom, a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to the innumerable angels in festal, you know, a feast gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. But here's the point that makes it all good. And to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. We don't come to a smoking, threatening Sinai. We come to the same God, but we do it through Jesus Christ. We have a freedom here in our worship services. Our worship services, we try to hold these two realities. The awfulness in the old sense, right? The greatness of God. The distance of God. The holiness of God. And the closeness that we're brought to that God through the mediation of Jesus Christ. We come to the presence of God with a freedom that even Moses never had because of the work of Jesus Christ. We have a better mediator than the people of Israel did. We have Jesus. And it's the blood of Christ on that cross which prepares you to meet God. So my question for you this morning is, are you prepared to meet God? In some sense, we're meeting with him this morning, as he's promised. But there's a future even greater meeting when we will dwell with him forever. Are you prepared? And the way you can be prepared is running to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith, who will wash you with the blood of the new covenant which he shed for you, that you can enter with confidence in the presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I pray that all of us will be prepared to meet our Savior. Be prepared to enter into the presence of God. Lord, I thank you that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus Christ to die for all those who turn to you and place their trust in you. I pray that you will be with us as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name, amen. As we turn to and prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper, please take your white songbooks and turn to page number 14, Ah, Holy Jesus. Please stand. At the end of this section of the book of Exodus, something remarkable happens. Israel has run away from the mountain in terror at hearing the voice of God. The idea of even coming into the presence of God is something they can't even fathom. But in chapter 24 of the book of Exodus, one of the most remarkable things in the book of Exodus happens. The Lord says to Moses, "Come up to the Lord. You and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near, and the people shall not come up with him." Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules, and the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. "All the Lord has spoken we will do and be obedient," the people said. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant the Lord has made with you in accordance to all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel went up. And they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is the meal which concludes that first great worship service. They've been terrified hearing God's law. But God says, "I haven't come to kill you. I've come because I love you." And so he has Moses take this altar at the end to sacrifice on this altar an animal and take blood and sprinkle it on the people that they may be clean. And then he invites the leaders of the people up into his presence so that they have a vision of sorts of God. And what do? When they see God, they eat in the presence of God, presumably part of the peace offerings which are offered. This meal, which we have here, is a covenant meal like that meal. This meal is a meal we celebrate because we've been sprinkled with blood. Because the blood of Jesus Christ is shed on the cross, and it is shed for you, that you can enter the presence of God and eat in His presence, that great marriage supper of the Lamb, and not die. That's what that meal points forwards to, is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for you, that you too can, when you die, that you won't really die, that you can live in the presence of God forever. That's what the cross is all about. That's what this worship service is all about, is remembering and sealing to us that great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ offered himself as that sacrifice for you. And this bread and this wine are us eating symbolically that sacrifice that is offered for us. A peace offering that we are eating in the presence of God here, knowing that we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you have been someone who has a mediator, who has been marked with the seal of inclusion in God's people in baptism, whether as an infant or as an adult, and have stood up in front of a congregation like ours and confessed that I believe that I need a mediator, and that Jesus Christ is that mediator for me, that he has washed me with his blood and cleansed me from my sin, then I invite you to come and eat this feast, which is given by our Savior for you in these symbols of his body and blood in this bread and wine. But if these things aren't true of you, please let this meal pass you by. But don't let this moment pass you by, because you will meet God. And that is an awesome, amazing thing. But you need a mediator. Come talk to me. Talk to anyone here. I will get down on my knees with you. I will pray with you. We will testify. And I have a promise from God for you that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to sprinkle with you with his blood, that you can dwell in the presence of God forever. I have that promise from God for you, so please don't let this moment pass you by if Jesus Christ is not your mediator. Trust in him in faith. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the gift of that sacrifice of our mediator, Jesus Christ, who sprinkles us with his blood, the blood of the new covenant, that we can enter God's presence. So I ask your blessing of your Spirit on us as we celebrate this service this morning. In your name, amen. In the same manner, gracious Father, we thank you for this privilege of eating and drinking with you. Lord, I pray that we will go forth from here knowing that we have indeed seen God and lived. May we go forth from here better prepared for this week and prepared to be and dwell with you forevermore when you call us home. I pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we take the offering, we will sing hymn number 469 from the red hymnals in front of you. We will remain seated and stand on the last verse.